from there, okay? So, starting in John chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 through 9, and like I said, we'll kind of go from there, okay? And it says there, and starting in verse number 1, it says, "And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? So, real quick this morning, like I said, I won't keep you guys too terribly long this morning, but what I want you to see this morning is really, first of all, Jesus had this guy Nicodemus, who we're told there in verse 1, was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews, based on the scriptures, right? So this guy was the smart guy. Okay? I want you to see his position there. So Nicodemus was in the smart guy group, okay? He was considered one of the rulers of the Jews and the people that other people came to for answers. So, I tell people that I work with and those that ask, what do you do? I work for Southwire. But what does that mean? Well, in my particular case, I've outgrown my youthfulness physically. So, and now basically what they pay me for is to know stuff. And it's like I told, I just got done training a guy who's really doing what I do, except he does it on night shift, is he thought that I just knew all this stuff off the top of my head, right? And I had to reveal my secret to this guy that I don't just know all this stuff off the top of my head. I actually just have to know where to find the answer. So that's really what I want to talk to you about this morning, is not necessarily that we have to know all the answers. Like Nicodemus didn't know all the answers, but he did figure out where to find them. And it says right there that he came to Jesus, verse 2, he came to Jesus by night. So we don't know why he decided to do it this way. We don't know if Nicodemus decided to come to Jesus at night because of the other crowds and stuff that could see and could get in the way, or if he had talked to Jesus beforehand and he said, all right, when can I come see you and us just have a discussion? Don't know. But at this point in time, we know that he came to Jesus at night. And he sat down, and they start having this discussion. And the more questions that Jesus answered, the more questions Nicodemus had, right? It's kind of that way for us sometimes, isn't it? That we'll start reading through the scriptures, and we'll start seeing some stuff, and then our questions become more questions and more questions. And I'll tell y'all straight up right now, just because I'm the one standing up here this morning does not mean that I know a whole lot about this book. I'll be the first one to tell you that there's way more in this book that I don't know than I feel like I do. But I also feel that God called me to stand up here this morning to make sure that you guys know you're not alone. You're not alone in that. That when you search through this book to find answers, you're not the only one searching for answers, okay? So, and then, you know, there in verse 4 and in verse 9, we see that Jesus answers a question, Nicodemus asks a question. Once again, Jesus gives an answer, raises another question. But, however, one of the things that I want you to see is that God, in this case, in this particular passage this morning, Jesus was giving clear answers. God will always give us clear answers to what we're trying to figure out if we'll only allow it. So, and the, you know, there in verse 7, Jesus even tells Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." So Jesus is already perceived at that point in time, because he's awesome like that, that Nicodemus was going, "Okay, so you want me to do what?" That's kind of the awesome thing about God's answer sometimes, right? Is it doesn't necessarily line up with what we think needs to happen. Y'all with me there? Everybody still awake? Good. Okay, I'll see some. That's good. But sometimes our very finite little minds as humans cannot comprehend the majesty and the gloriousness of God. We can't figure that out. So then when we get the answers, like Jesus gave Nicodemus this answer that you must be born again, and then he says, "Marvel not that I tell you, you've got to be born again." It didn't match up with his human worldview of things, right? He was like, "Man, so then there in verse 4, Nicodemus asked this question. Wait a minute, can a man be born when he is old?" No. No, it's a different kind of born, right? And then he explains to him that there in verse 6, that things that are born of the flesh are flesh. Things that are born of the spirit are spirit. No, man. Come on, you're supposed to be like the smart guy. Right? And actually down in verse number 10, we didn't read that far, but even Jesus asked, "Art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things?" So, it's pretty cool though, to me, to know that God has a better plan for me, and he's got the answers for my life and for your life. But it may not necessarily line up with the things that I have in mind. That's really cool to me. Because that means that God knows the things that I don't know, right? He knows the things that I cannot possibly know is going to happen or is happening other places, and how, if he didn't intervene in my life, how it could affect me. Let me give you a quick illustration of that. So, back last year sometime, it was during the school year. So I normally get up and go to work. My clock goes off at 4 a.m. And I am in the car on the road at 4:11. Clockwork. Every morning. I am in the car on the road 4:11. Just happens that way. Takes me a really long time to do my hair, but you know, other than that, I'm in the car and I'm gone. So, some of y'all got that. I saw a couple of y'all smile. Anyway, but so I'm headed to work, and I get to work, and most of the time, I go to Waco from our house over here on James Street. I go to Waco. I get on I-20. You know, I run up to Villa Rica. I get off exit 24. I go to the plant. And that's the way I normally go to work. 99.8% of the time, that's how I go to work. Well, that particular morning, I get in the car. I leave our house. I turn right here at the red light at the Shell. I head east on Highway 78. And when I get to Waco, I don't turn. I go straight on up Highway 78 into Villa Rica, and I go to the plant. Don't know why I just did that morning. So then, about 6 a.m., my sister calls me. Frantic. She's freaking out. So I'm like, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" She said, well, I was headed to work. She said, and I heard that there was a, and at the time, I had a different car than what I have now. But she said, I heard that there was a silver SUV that was hit by a transfer truck, and it's really bad on I-20. And they said it happened around 4:30 this morning. Are you okay? I said, I'm fine. I didn't go I-20 this morning. I went Highway 78. Who knows what could have happened, y'all? But for some reason, God only knows why I went Highway 78 that morning as opposed to I-20. Because God. You know, and I'll ask this question of you guys. How many times in your life have you had similar experiences like that where you know that you went outside your normal routine, you didn't know why, but then later you figured out, oh wow, there could have been some other stuff happening. It could have been me. I know I have several experiences like that. You know, just like if you'd have asked me as a junior in high school, what are you going to do for a living? What are you going to do when you grow up, right? You know, we just had graduation and our baccalaureate service here, and a bunch of these kids are going out into the world and trying to figure out what they're going to do for a living and for a career and all those different kinds of things. If you had asked me my junior year in high school, what are you going to do for a living? Well, I'm going to go to school and I'm going to get a music education degree and I'm going to be a band director. That's what I think I'm going to do. Which halfway worked out for me because that's how I met my wonderful wife, is we started the same degree. But sometime in between that time and my senior year when I was getting ready to leave, I decided I was going to join the Marine Corps. So I went to my first year in college so I could meet my wife. And then I went to the Marine Corps. And I'll tell anybody who asked, because the Marine Corps is easier. I just think that's the way that is. But I thought I had the answers for my life. I thought I knew what was best, what was going to happen in my life. God saw different. And I'm glad He did. Because I would have never got the chance to meet and do meet the people that I met and do the things that I did, and it influenced me to become the person that I am today if I wouldn't have followed some of those really odd things that I felt like was happening in my life. So I'm here to tell you this morning, if you think that you got it all planned out for your life and then, oh, I know I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this, and even as adults, now I'm not just speaking to the younger people in the room. I'm speaking to all of us that sometimes because we feel like we have experience, we feel like we know the best route for our life. I'm here to tell you God knows what's best for your life. Just as Nicodemus, at this point in time, who was not a young man, who was a person who thought he was the in crowd of the knowers, came to Jesus by night to figure out what he didn't know. So, you know, a lot of times in our life, just as with in probably a little bit in this case, Nicodemus, who had searched the Scriptures, he probably knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards. You know, he had been taught the prophets from birth. You know, he knew all of those things. He knew the Jewish law. He knew all of those things. But I wonder what had kind of got in there that made him act the way he was acting, or then eventually come to Jesus for some answers. There are some of us today, you know, that one way or another, we look everywhere else we can look for answers rather than God's Word. Hey, guilty as charged, y'all. Because when I'm doing some research into a potential purchase of something, more times than not, lately it's either a firearm or a car, you know, and my wonderful wife and mom being here, Bless my mama's heart. You know, y'all, when I was in my late teens, early 20s, mama didn't know what I would drive up in. I mean, I may drive a particular car to work, and I may come home in something else. and have three or four cars sitting in the yard at all the time. Some of them may work, some of them may not. You know, because that's just what I did at the time. But you know, sometimes we look for answers on, just like I was saying, you know, everybody got one of these things, you know, so now we just Google it, right? We just Google it and we figure out what does Google say about this thing that I'm trying to figure out. And it says, and the answer that you're not going to get from Google is go ask God. That's not the answer you're going to get from Google. Because that's worldly knowledge. That's not God knowledge. But I'm here to tell you, if you will look in the Scriptures, if you will ask God for the answer to whatever it is you're trying to figure out, you'll get the answer that you need. Emphasis there on the word need. Not necessarily want. You know, I had a discussion with one of the guys that I worked with the other day. You know, we were talking about that a lot of times in today, our moral compass has disintegrated. Most people don't know where they put theirs anymore. You know, as far as a moral compass, they have what I like to refer to as the Jack Sparrow compass. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody seen the Pirates of the Caribbean series? Jack Sparrow, which is played by Johnny Depp, he's got this compass, right? And most compasses point which direction? North, right? They point north. And so everything is in reference to north. But the Jack Sparrow compass that a lot of people, I believe, carry as their moral compass points to the thing that you want most. There's a lot of folks walking around like that, y'all, that their moral compass points to the thing that they want most. And there's folks that try to make the Scriptures read the way that they want them to. They will say, well, you know, I'm going to go search through God's Word. And just like we were talking about in Sunday school this morning, there's people that search through God's Word and find verses, and they pull this verse out, and they pull this verse out, and they kind of tweak the Word just a little bit, and I make it say what I want it to say, so it's okay to do what I want to do. There's folks that do that. The world as a whole does not go by God's Word, y'all. Even though this is still, the last time I checked, the most widely sold book in America. That means that most people's got a bunch of these things. But are we reading them? Just like I mentioned earlier, I do not have that talent or that desire. I'm not really good at reading. But yet at the same time, I know I should because it's God's Word. When I'm searching for answers, I shouldn't necessarily just Google it. Everybody loves Google, right? Or, well, I don't know. Some people are Bing people, you know. Do we have any Bing people in here? Yeah. I see some people. Oh, no, not that. No. But, you know, there's whatever your search engine you like is. That's the world we live in. But I'm here to tell you this morning that if you're searching for answers for your life, God's Word's got it, y'all. It's a very simple message this morning. That we all search for answers. Whether we're young, whether we're old, we're all searching for an answer. And we should also know that God knows best for our life. Just as Jesus knew, when Nicodemus came to him, he didn't start debating whether we should work on the Sabbath, you know, that, or whether it was okay for this and this and this to happen according to the Hebrew law. What does Jesus say? Verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He gave him what he needed to know first. And then he goes on further to explain the reason for the first answer. You got to get this first. If you want me to provide answers for your life, you got to do this first. All right, so finishing up this morning, I figured I'd finish earlier than this, y'all. I apologize. But it is what it is, right? Everybody okay? Y'all still good? Everybody still awake? Right. So, you know, and finishing up this morning, we can be impatient. You know, why don't we Google it? Because we want to know now. You know, I can remember when Mom and Daddy bought the first set of encyclopedias we had. I already told y'all I don't like to read. I didn't use them much. But there's a wealth of knowledge, you know, in that huge thing of books that I can remember stayed on Mom and Daddy's bookshelf. There was a lot of knowledge in there. But because I don't like to read, I didn't go never look for nothing like that, you know. Because I want instant knowledge. Sometimes we get so impatient that we don't wait on God's answer. We're so now. I want to know now. I want to know now. Okay, so if I'm looking at this and I'm trying to figure out this, I want to know now. Rather than God sometimes tells us, you're not ready for that yet. I'm going to need you to wait just a little bit. Well, God, I waited 2 weeks. Man, that's enough. I gotta go. You know, we're so impatient. We live in this fast-paced world where we gotta go, 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 go. But sometimes we need to wait. Boy, and that's tough, isn't it? Psalms chapter 27, verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, that was a psalmist. That was way long before Jesus had this conversation with Nicodemus. There was already people figured it out, that sometimes you have to wait. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Once again, man, wow. So you're telling me I don't really need to just go with my gut feeling and take off? No, that's what I'm saying. Is you need to be waiting on God's answer. Sometimes we get the answers that we need quickly. Other times we need to wait. You know, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32, this is Jesus speaking, the letters are in red in my book. That tells us that God knows that we have needs. You know, God knows the things that we need and when we need it. We serve an on-time God. You know, God can be on time with his answers no matter what. Sometimes for us, we just struggle with the patience to wait on when the answer is supposed to get there. You know, and for me, I want to be, once again, like the psalmist. There in Psalms chapter 28 and verse 7, it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I'm helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. So, I'm done, y'all, just so you know. I'm done. But this morning, just as I come get ready for invitation this morning, and this is the invitation this morning. If you're like Nicodemus and you're searching for answers for your life, the first thing you got to do is bring your life to Christ. I'm here to tell you this morning, that's the first step. So if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you to come down here this morning. I'll talk to you. There's plenty of other folks in this building that if you don't want to talk to me, there's other folks that we can put you with, okay? But the first step is coming to know Christ personally as your Savior. And then second of all, if you're past that point and you've got some things that you know that you've just been relying on yourself and you want to bring those things to Christ, I invite you to do that this morning. You bring those things that you've just been working through and it's driving you nuts. I want you to bring those things to Christ this morning.